Yosef Engel, in his Beis HaOtzar, gives 9 reasons for the Talmudic principle of Ein Onshin Min Hadin. Remember we discussed this in Gemara Shir last year, so this is not a Gemara Shir, this is a Parsha Devar Torah, but bear with me, you'll see where I'm going with this. Rav Yosef Engel, 9 reasons for Ein Onshin Min Hadin. Ein Onshin Min Hadin is the principle that we cannot punish somebody based on a Kal V'Chomer. We do not derive that there is an Onesh, that there is a punishment that Beis Din issues from a Kal V'Chomer. The reasons range, as all of Rav Yosef Engel's writings range, from strictly halachic to kabbalistic. Rav Yosef Engel was a baki, a nigla, a nister, everything, kol razlo anisle, he was a master of everything. So he has all sorts of different reasons. One of the more fascinating explanations he offers is based on an analysis of the B'nai Yisachar. The B'nai Yisachar has an analysis of the parallel between the 13 midos shatorah nedreshes behen, the Rabbi Shmuel Omer 13 midos that we say every day, and the 13 midos harachamim, Hashem Hashem kel racham v'chanun, etc., etc. And he understands that it's not coincidental that there happen to be 13 of each. For example, the very last of the 13 midos shatorah nedreshes behen is, how do you finish off Rabbi Shmuel Omer? That's the end of it. Then you hear about something else. But two pesukim that contradict each other. And what's the last of the Midos HaRachamim? Vinakei? Lo yinakei. Shnei ksubim ha-machishim ze'ezeh. Vinakei? Lo yinakei. What's the opposite of vinakei? Lo yinakei. Hachasha. Similarly, the first of the Midos Shatar and Josh Ben is Kal V'Chomer. First of the Midos HaRachamim, in the view of Mei Saschar, this is debatable, it's many Shittos and Rishonim, is Kel, Aleph and Lam. The name of Hashem associated with Chesed. So it's interesting that one of the times Kal V'Chomer is used in the Torah is in connection with the punishment given to Miriam. Hashem says, if her father would spit in her face, she'd be banished for a week. So Kal V'Chomer, when there's a problem with the Shechina, when her beef is not with her father, but it's with the Shechina, so she should for sure be banished for a week. Kal V'Chomer, it's one of the places we have Kal V'Chomer in the Torah. And Moshe Rabbeinu has to pray for Miriam, and how does he refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when the punishment was a Kal V'Chomer? Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kel Na Refan Allah. The name associated with Kal V'Chomer, and the name associated with Chesed. Kel, Kal V'Chomer, Chesed. So this Rav Yosef Engel explains is the reason that Ein Onshin Min Hadin. Punishment can't derive from Chesed. Din is Kal V'Chomer. Kal V'Chomer is Chesed. Kal V'Chomer is Kel. Onesh is severity. Onesh is din. You can't derive din from a source that's chesed. Punishment is the opposite of chesed. Chesed is the mitzvah in the Torah that's most easy to relate to, most easy to understand. You could explain to a guy on the street why it's important to do chesed and have no problem, but try to explain to him why you take lulav. It's a little bit more difficult. Of the mitzvahs that we do, those that relate to chesed are clearly the most relatable. Kal V'Chomer is the only midah that's logical and easily understood by any human being. We've had the discussion just recently, I think, about the Yudgal Midah Shatar and Josh, but we know Gezer Shava, totally illogical. Kal V'Chomer, super logical. The ones in between, the other 11, okay. Machlokas, Rashi and Tosas, whether Adam don me'atzma, whether you need a mesora in order to don the others. But Kal V'Chomer is the most logical. Chesed, the most logical. Avram Avinu is the Amura Chesed. He's the forefather who relates to Hashem with the name Kel. Avram is the representative of Chesed, the paradigm of Chesed. And you would therefore imagine that the way Avram Avinu would achieve perfection, would achieve his goals in life, would achieve what he's supposed to become, is through an action that represents Midas HaChesed. And it seems to start off that way. Hashem introduces himself to Avraham Avinu, and he refers to himself as Kel Shakai. Kel, the name of Chesed. And that very pasuk, he says, Veheye Tamim. Hi, I'm Kel Shakai, Hashem says to Avraham Avinu. And now that you relate to me as Kel, as the God of Chesed, Veheye Tamim, now you'll be able to achieve perfection. You'll be able to achieve what you're supposed to achieve in this world. You complete yourself with a bris milah. Problem is that milah seems to be the opposite of Chesed. We don't say Shasimcha b'ma'ono at a bris milah, the Gemara tells us in Ksuvas. Why? Because of Tsara d'Yanuka. Because the baby's suffering, the baby's struggling, the baby's in pain. Chesed brings joy, gratitude. That's not Chesed. Where's the Chesed in milah? Milah brings pain. So the Gra explains that when Hashem promises Avraham Avinu, Anochi magen lach scharcha harbe ma'od, I'm going to protect you, you'll have great reward. There's a connection between the magen, that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the shield and the protector, and the lots of schar that Avraham Avinu is going to get. Because the Gra explains, there are three ways that we refer to Hashem each and every day, and how He helps us each and every day. Hashem is Ozer, Umoshia, Umage. Ozer, Umoshia, Umage. Ozer, helps. Moshia, salvation, helps. Magen, protects, helps. What's the difference? Ozer, Moshia, Magen. The Gra explains that they refer to three different circumstances during which a person has to experience a deep sense of bitachon. Sometimes a person puts in his hishtadlus, trusts Hashem the rest of the way. That's what we would call bitachon. But that's not the most challenging bitachon to have. You know, I work very hard in school. I achieve good grades. I work on my interviewing skills. I get a good job. I put in all this shadlus for years and years and years. And I have bitachon that Hashem will provide. It's not the hardest bitachon to have because I could see why everything I'm doing is going to lead me directly to that path. I know that I can't do it on my own. I need a Kodesh Baruch Hu to make it all happen. I'm doing a lot of the legwork. It's easy to believe that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will make me successful in an adventure that I put a lot of effort into. For that, Hashem is Ozer. It's Ozer. He helps our efforts. We have efforts, a Kodesh Baruch Hu helps those efforts along. Sometimes the situation is not in a person's hands, and he knows that he can't do anything about it. No amount of work, no amount of effort, no amount of studying, no amount. It's out of his hands. Think of a different kind of test, not an academic test, but a medical test. Person isn't feeling well, goes to the doctor. The doctor says, well, this could be nothing or it could be very serious. We're going to take some tests. We're going to run some tests. Totally out of the person's hands. His tefillos are completely putting himself in the hands of the Ribbono Shel Olam. He can't do anything about it. He's awaiting his diagnosis. And he has bitachon. But that bitachon is a higher level bitachon. It's the type of bitachon that Hashem rewards with Moshia. He saves us. Because we can't save ourselves. We can't even play a role in saving ourselves. Hashem is Moshia. See, the difference Ozer is, Hashem helps us along, meaning we're already doing it. So Hashem's giving the extra push, the extra bump. Moshia is, we can't do anything. So Hashem has to save us from a threat that looms that we can't do anything about. And then comes a third level. What could be better than that? What could be a third level? Sometimes a person has so much trust in Hashem that he's going to do Hashem's will even when it seems that doing Hashem's will is going to achieve the opposite of the result that he's trying to achieve. You want to become wealthy. How do you become wealthy? Well, you need to be responsible with money, right? You have to be careful not to waste it, not to give too much of it away. You know, they say, oh, that person is very wealthy, but very cheap. Well, how do you think he got so wealthy? Because he doesn't waste his money. And yet, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you have to give tzedakah. And not only do you have to give tzedakah, but the Gemara tells us, melach mamon chaser, aser bishvil shetis hasher. You give, so that you can get, that's how you're going to become wealthy. So, imagine you hang out a shingle, financial planning. Someone comes, okay, I have X amount of money, what should I do? How do I make more money? You got to give more. Give more tzedakah. Give more to who? Give more, invest more? No. Give more tzedakah to people who will never ever pay you back, and you're not going to ask for payment back. And that's how you'll become wealthy. It makes no sense. It's backwards. How do those efforts of giving tzedakah lead to financial success? For that, Hashem is a magen. Hashem is a protector. Not just the Moshiach, that He's going to save you where you have nowhere else to turn, but you seem to be doing things that are working against you, and Hashem will protect you from the negative effects of what you're doing. Giving away the money should make you poorer. Hashem will protect you from that happening. The greatest schar comes from the greatest bitachon. So Hashem tells Avram Avinu that He will be magen lach. I'm going to protect you. V'scharcha harbe ma'od, and you're going to get very great schar. The greatest reward is going to come when you allow Hashem to be a magen. When Hashem says do something and it makes no sense, it seems to be that Hashem is telling me to do the opposite of what I'm trying to achieve. But Hashem said to do it, so I trust that it's going to get me there. Hashem is a magen. What emerges from that gra is that for somebody to achieve greatness, it's critical that he do something counterintuitive for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'man Hashem. If that's the Ratzon Hashem, even though it's counterintuitive, we do it. For Avram to become the Amud HaChesed, he had to be willing to slaughter his own son. An act that is the very opposite of Chesed, flies in the face of Chesed. We can all relate to Chesed once it's there and once we see it. But for Avram to achieve it, he had to do something that nobody could relate to. That nobody could think is humane, is normal, is kind, is gentle. The opposite of all those things. Because Hashem said so. And Hashem will be a magen. And Hashem says, you do what I say, you're going to be an Amud HaChesed. Even in Avram Avinu's first great act, getting thrown into the fire in Or Kasdim, not recorded in Chumash, it was a counterintuitive decision. If Avram wanted to be able to preach monotheism and teach it to the masses, like Rabbi Kamenetsky just mentioned, like the Rambam says, and gather together and mobilize thousands and tens of thousands of people with his message of monotheism, well, it was really critical in order to get that message out that the one person who actually believes it be alive. If he's going to throw himself into a fire and die, well, then the message is never going to get out. It's counterintuitive. You would think, okay, just live another day so that you'll be able to get the message out. Logic would have dictated that the act of martyrdom at Or Kasdim would have been a death blow to the doctrine of monotheism. That's what logic would dictate. But it ultimately turns into the greatest support and magain for monotheism. Why? Because this isn't just someone who's going around preaching. This is someone who's willing to give his life for it. And imagine how that plays to the crowd when he's getting up on a soapbox and speaking to those thousands and tens of thousands. This is how passionately I believe it. And they know his history and they know what he's been through. And they know how he's been persecuted for this belief. What he thought, what logic would have taught us, was going to ruin the whole mission, turns out to be something that aids the mission a great deal. So it's no surprise that for Avram Avinu to achieve Tamimus, and for Bnei Avram to achieve Tamimus, for those who are defined as Gomle Chasadim, Bnei Yisrael, it's achieved with our willingness to participate in the briso shel Avram Avinu and causing tsar liyanuka. Because our dedication to any given cause or any midah may be very great, but ultimately our dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be even greater. The love we have for friends, the love we have for Klal Yisrael, the love we have for family emanates from the love we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a separate love, it's the same love. And therefore, if it ever comes in conflict with the love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and things seem counterintuitive, I want to achieve Gomlei Chasadim, I want to achieve these great midos and these great things, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something that seems that's going to stop me from that, it always comes back to what does Hashem want. Always comes back to that. It's a very uncomplicated way of thinking about things, challenging to implement. Difficult decisions people face in life. So there are 1,000 factors. You think about this factor, that factor, and you're balancing, and you make lists, this side, that side. There's only one question that matters. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? It's the only question that matters. It may be that the list will help you figure out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, but it's the only question that matters. Not what anyone else wants. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want? Very often, what do my parents want, whatever, is a reflection of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, most often. Not always, most often. But that has to be the ultimate. That has to be how it's defined. Because even if it seems counterintuitive to our goals, ultimately, it's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses our ability to achieve tmimus, our ability to achieve chesed, and our ability to be genuine B'nai Avram Avinu.